Our first reading is taken from Ephesians 1, verses 15 to 23. If you want to follow it in the Pew Bibles, it's on page 1172 or 73, depending on the version you have. So it's Ephesians 1, 15 to 23. Thanksgiving and prayer. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. This is the word of the Lord.
Our gospel reading is taken from Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46, and can be found on page 995 if you wish to follow from the pews' Bibles. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. The sheep and the goats. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these my brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Word, your word that calls and challenges us to step into all your goodness. So, Lord, as we hear your words this morning, Lord, I pray that they will do just that, Lord. I pray that they will call and they will challenge us, but they will also revive us and renew us in all that you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's great to be with you this morning preaching. If you don't know who I am, my name is Victoria, and I had the deep joy and honour of working here and serving here and worshipping with you for about 3.5 years. And now I'm working as a youth and children's worker at Tonbridge Methodist Church, but it's great to be with you and with amongst friends this morning. And I don't know if you've ever felt judged. Maybe for something that you've said, something that you've not said. Maybe for a particular action. Or maybe even for something that you've worn. Because in your head, you thought that you looked good. But unfortunately, it was not reciprocated by those around you. I want to suggest that all of us, at some point, has judged somebody. And all of us, at some point, have felt judged. Now, this is quite a superficial example, but rewind the clock to 2004, and it was not a superficial example. Now, one of my things is I've never watched an episode of Friends. Put your hands up if you're like me and never watched an episode of Friends. Hey, that's good, that's good. But there's a time where you have to reveal this, and actually the week of the last episode was not a good time to reveal this to your friends. And actually, I felt judged. I felt judged for never watching Friends. I felt judged for my lack of preparedness, that I didn't know what was going on in the world of Friends. That my lack of participation in all things Friends culture was indeed judged. But in Matthew 25, in the reading we've had, it's all about preparedness. First of all, there are the foolish bridesmaids who ran out of oil and so therefore missed the wedding. And then there's the slave who wasted his chance of increasing his one talent whilst the master was away. Now we have the sheep and the goats, this fantastic metaphor. All these people and these groups are unprepared for what is about to happen. And so they face terrible consequences. For the stories are not just about the importance of being ready, but actually they're about judgment. And I think justice is one of the most profound longings of the human race. If there is no justice, then we know deep within ourselves that something is out of joint. Justice is hard to define, but even harder to put into practice. But that has never stopped individuals, churches, societies, communities working for it, striving for it, and finding new ways of doing it better. But it's important to remember that justice doesn't simply mean punishing wickedness, though that is regularly what's involved. It means bringing the world back into balance. We all have decisions and judgments to make in our lives all the time, to choose to make a decision to be a mouthpiece for God's truth and for God's justice. And so these people in Matthew 25, they all make their judgments. The foolish bridesmaids decide that there is no great rush. The slave with the one talent decides to do nothing, to bury his talent. And the goats from this reading today decides that some people are just not worth bothering about. Then God makes his judgment to both the sheep and the goats. And they're both surprised. And they say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? They didn't live their lives in preparation for this to happen. They didn't realise how it would be. It seemed like they didn't know what God expected from them. Perhaps they deceived themselves that they wouldn't be judged for it, that there would be no consequences for the way they lived. I wonder if we can do that. Do we deceive ourselves that there will be no consequences to the way we choose or not choose to live out our faith in the world? We know what he wants us to do. It's in our reading. We've heard about it. We can't say that we don't. So we need to be ready. We need to be prepared. And so for many of us here today, we've come to church to worship God, to meet with God, to grow in our relationship with him. And as worthy and as important for us to keep doing that, it shouldn't be where it ends. That's not where it ends. Surely there must be more to it than that. But as we get rooted and as we get established into our relationship with God, he calls us into a relationship with others, the people around us. The strength of my relationship with God is demonstrated by the strength of my relationship with others. And so therefore the greatest proof that God is at work in our hearts today is a constant demonstration of love towards the people around us. For God is love, and if our relationships are defined by love, if our relationship with God is defined by love, is love at the core of our being, so therefore our relationships with other people will be defined by love. But we know it's a real challenge, don't we? Loving the King, putting his call first, and therefore living like the King. Where we say he is King, we live with that in our heart. And we work in alignment with our Father to bring life out of death in every situation around us. And we do that by doing things for the least of these. We know that we should never give up on the least of these in our world. Homeless, refugees fleeing their homes in fear, those suffering with addictions of many kind. For as Jesus referred to these, the least, Jesus calls them my brothers and my sisters. And this Matthew 25 is the last reading before Jesus is arrested and crucified. It's almost like the last will and testimony of Jesus Christ. And he tells his disciples, don't forget this. Love as I have loved. Served as I have served. Be prepared to do this. Be prepared for making me the King of your life. Because I've mentioned earlier, as we live and as we move and as we have our being in Christ, then the rest will come naturally. It will be a natural overflow of his life in us. So we're to love like the King, and we're to live like the King. I think all of us here today admire lots of different people for many reasons. At the moment, mine ranges from Henri Nguyen and then Elizabeth from The Apprentice, but I can tell you about that later if you like. When we say we want to live like Jesus, when we say we want to be like him, it involves taking on his mindset of looking after the least, turning the world standards around. That's difficult. But how can we do this? Well, we could do this by inviting the Spirit in our lives every day to make us ready, to make us prepared, to serving him, to pray for those opportunities. Are we actively praying for opportunities to meet with people, to serve people, to bring Jesus into situations? To step into our calling of the building of his kingdom. For we know that we are his church when we are gathered together like this. This is wonderful. Let us not stop doing that. But it's not where it ends. For we are even more his church when we are scattered, when we serve him in the places of our work, our homes, with all those we come into contact with. We need to be prepared for it now, to be a part of it now, to make a difference, to see God moves in our homes, to see God move in every situation we come across, to serve the least, to bring God's love and God's light into all places, to share Jesus our King, so we can say, "Thy kingdom come." We say this at church every week. Perhaps we say this without the expectation of having to live a certain way in our lives, or without us having to do anything. That would be so easy, wouldn't it? To show up and say them, but not actually implement them as we walk with God. But it's not correct, though. And what those who weren't prepared lacked was the willingness and the desire to actually walk the walks. They could say the words, but when it came to walking the walk with Jesus, they were lacking. Dallas Willard, who was an American philosopher, coined the phrase a vampire Christian. And he didn't mean it to cause any offense, but rather to highlight that there is a mindset that is quite reasonable to be a vampire Christian. And this is a person, in effect, says to Jesus, "I'd like a little of your blood, please, but I don't care to be your student, and I don't care to have your character. In fact, won't you just excuse me while I get on with my life, and I will see you in heaven." But friends, that's not what Jesus intended. He intended us to seek him and to serve him for all our days. And you may think that's tough. I'm sure all of you have got situations in your life where serving Jesus is tough. But we know that being a Christian isn't easy. We know that being a Christian has many, many challenges in ways that we can't even imagine. But in our reading from Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 22 says, God's church is his body, the fullness of him who fulfills everything in every way. God will fulfill his body in every way. I don't know about you, but I love a good prayer meeting. I love praying for things that you want to see come, things that you want God's breakthrough to happen. And one of the joys about prayer meetings is that people say lots of different Bible verses, and one of the things that people say is that they pray for the immeasurably more of God. That's wonderful, praying for the immeasurably more of God. But they don't always read out the whole verse. And it actually says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." Within us. So actually, we don't have to do it in our own strength. We don't have to go out and serve God, because we actually have his power within us to enable us to serve God, to enable us to call on him, to enable his spirit to be at work in our lives. So we go in his strength for the glory of the church and to bring glory to Jesus. And it ends, throughout all generations, forever and ever, amen. What a wonderful promise. That God is with us, that actually it is his strength living in us that calls us and that challenges us to know that we don't have to go it alone. To know that he goes before us and to know that he stands with us in all that we do. So let's today and every day rekindle our love for our King. And let's be prepared to participate in the King and the coming of his kingdom. Because we know we have a world aching to know the love of Jesus. to know of a gospel that where they can be made clean and really know it, really believe it, really stand in it, really embrace it, and be regarded not by human standards, but by the kingdom of God. And so today, that's what we're stepping into, and that's who we are. Let me pray. Father, we thank you that we are your body. We are your hands, we are your feet. We are a mouthpiece for your truth and for your justice. And so, Lord, I pray today that we may have a sense of your Spirit going before us and standing with us in all that we do. And Lord, let us not stop wanting the immeasurably more of your kingdom because of your glory and your power at work in us. So Lord, I pray today, this week, this month, for the rest of our lives, you will give us moments where we can choose to build your kingdom, where we can choose to say yes, to step into your calling. Lord, thank you for the reminder of serving the least. Lord, I pray that, especially during this season of Advent, we may not lose heart of serving the least. Lord, will you keep inspiring us? Will you keep calling us? Will you keep challenging us to not be complacent, but to stand and to serve, whatever that looks like for us, in the coming of your kingdom, because we know it will come, and so we are an expectant people. So, Lord, your kingdom come and your will be done today. In Jesus' name, amen.